glass and I boots. We never see you. I told y'all to take a picture, didn't I? Now, I don't know what y'all thought transformation was going to look like. When God does it, it's usually not the way you think. So it'll be inside and outside. Amen. I wanted to continue on with what we was talking about, but that's not what the direction we're supposed to go this morning. If I was going to title it, I would just simply call it unity. I'm going to read you some definitions right quick. The first one here is going to be from the old Webster's Dictionary, because there's a new one now, but this is from the old one. It says, unity is the fact or state of being one, accord, agreement, harmony. Now, this is AI's definition and some others of unity. It says, the state of being undivided, joined as a whole, or in full agreement and harmony. It represents oneness, such as a team working together toward a common goal or one purpose or a purpose. Now, we know in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they was up, all Jesus told them, he said, y'all go and tarry in Jerusalem, right? Go into the upper room. He said, until you receive the promise of the Father, which he was talking about, the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible says they was there how? Y'all remember? In one mind, one accord, one heart. Now, it's from different translations. I think the King James just says like one accord or something like that. But they was in one mind, one accord, one heart, one purpose, right? In other words, one goal that the history says there was about 500 of them and only like 120 of them lasted. What happened? They become divided. Mama's meatloaf on Friday night started looking pretty good. Y'all not saying nothing. That has took some people out of the will of God, meatloaf. Absolutely. I've heard stories of people that went to Bible college and different things, and I remember one of them that I heard the parking lot that hadn't been had the pavements yet or whatever, and all they had was gravel, and this one woman, her and her husband, was going to Bible college there, and they didn't get up early enough to park close to the building. So they parked had to park a long ways away from the building, and she liked to wear stilettos. Y'all know what them are, right? About like this. High heels, women's high heels. And do you know what? She had to quit going to that Bible college. You know why? Because it just scuffed her stilettos just too bad, Johnny. Y'all know I'm saying nothing, real quiet. What happened? Her purpose, her harmony, her one accord, her one reason for being there got disrupted by something that really doesn't even matter. Right? Just like Mama's meatloaf or whatever it is. I have absolutely been deterred by a hot dog one time. I don't even like hot dogs. I eat them if I have to. I don't like them. But I was on a fast one time, and all of a sudden, I don't know, Johnny, it just popped in my head about a hot dog, and it just started looking and smelling and tasting really good. So before you know it, I'm in there, and I'm eating a hot dog, and I thought, what are you doing? You're supposed to be fasting. Well, I got distracted, which caused me to become divided to something else. So therefore, I was not in unity and in my purpose. So we read there in the book of Acts that they was there in one heart, one accord, one mind, one purpose. The Bible says, put on the mind of Christ, right? So what that tells me is I'm supposed to think like he thinks. How did he think? Never about himself. It was always about the will of God. It was always about other people, right? I mean, that's how we have to think. Is number one, my will has to be the will of God, whatever I know that to be. A purpose for being here in this place is to do the will of God, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll have to stop right there. Let me go on with this here. Let's look at, let me just quote you some scriptures here. Beth can put them on the screen. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. What's that mean? Well, we have what we call the Trinity that we believe in, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Son is Jesus, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that we believe unto all three be one, but yet they are three, right? God the Father is sitting on the throne. He's the creator of all things. The Bible says Jesus was the Word, right? Nothing was made that without him or apart from him. He was there in the beginning, all that. Then we know, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the one here in the earth, right, that leads us, guides us, woos us. The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. We know that's the Holy Spirit's job here on the earth. But yet they are three, but yet they are one. What does that mean? Just like me and Scotty, the Bible says whenever a man and a woman, when they get married, they become one flesh. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Or we could say, in unity with one another. You cannot get nowhere if you stand there arguing about where you're going. But if you ever get in unity. See, that is one reason why me and Scotty have been married for over 40 years. It's not because we love each other more than any other couples. It's not because we get along better than other couples, because probably we get along most of the time less than a lot of other couples. We have been to the brink, saved, lost, indifferent, to the brink, to the very edge of divorce and all of that. But somehow or another, and God helping us, we always come back to the unity. What does that mean? We still may disagree, but we agree to walk together. That's the only reason. Because how many knows? There's all different kinds of things we could become distracted by. All different things we could become divided by. We don't even agree on all Scripture. All right, let's see here. But he says they are one. So they all defer to the Father, right? Jesus said his will or his meat is to do the will of the Father. That was his thing, to do the will of the Father. And he loved people. He never thought about himself. So therefore, me and you, the Bible says for us to prefer others above ourselves, right? That's a thing you have to learn and on purpose do. You're born again. The love of God is on the inside of us. The fruits of the Spirit, all they're on the inside of us. But how many of us, we have to make a choice every day of our lives. We have to make that choice. I'm supposed to be preferring Scotty above myself. Why? Because he's my husband. Right? The Bible says, love your neighbor. How? As you love yourself. Who's your neighbor? Well, it's the one that lives next to me. No, right now for Sandy, it's Aiden, and it's Jackson, and it's whoever's in this building. Whoever you're around at the time, that is your neighbor, right? It's a choice to do that. Let's see here. Let's go to Psalm 133. Very familiar verse. Probably everybody in here could quote it. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. I believe that's what I got. Yeah. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Travis said, amen. Isn't it such a blessing when Aubrey and Aiden's getting along, Travis? What is it when they're not? Can you just imagine God saying this about all of us? How good and how pleasant it is to God when we all His children get along. We live and dwell together in unity. That means we're in oneness. It says it is like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and skirts of his garments. Notice what it does. It consecrating the whole body. For it is like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion. Zion represents the church. It says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore upon the high and the lowly. But notice what he says there. For the Lord, this place of unity, the Lord has commanded a blessing. I did direct cross-reference to this word here where it says the Lord has commanded a blessing. I believe it went over to Deuteronomy or Leviticus 1. I can't remember right now. But anyway, that verse told him, he said, I'm going to bless you in this year like it had been three. He said, your crops, they're going to bear the fruitage of 3 years. Sounds like prosperity to me, don't it, to you? So what's that mean? That means that, Sandy, in 1 year, you're going to make financially what you would have made in three. But what's the key to it? The brethren living and dwelling together in unity, in one heart, one mind, one accord, one purpose. And it says God has commanded. What's that mean? I mean, it's whatever God commands, it shall be. When he said, light be, guess what? Light didn't think about it. Light just was. So there when he says it's the place where he commands the blessing's going to be there. So it's going to be an empowerment to prosper, right? Let's see here. Put up Amos 3:3. I quoted this, but we'll just read it from the screen, Beth. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I was reminded this morning of a story. Y'all remember Barnabas and Saul, right? I mean, Paul. He was Saul, but he got converted to Paul. How that they went on mission trips together, and they was going around preaching together and all that, you know. And who was it? Mark, I think, left them. Now, Mark is Barnabas's family member. You shouldn't always take family. You should be led. But anyway, so they have Mark going with them this one time, you know. And I don't know, maybe it was Mama's meatloaf. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he got homesick. I don't know. Maybe he got... How many knows it can be tiring to be on the road, going place to place? I don't know what it was for him, but for some reason or another, he just up and left them. So, lo and behold, they finish out their journey and everything, and then they go back to where they was, and then they're going to take another one, and Barnabas wants to take him again, and Paul says, no way. Y'all remember what happened? Almost blows, if you read that correctly. Now, they ain't fist fighting, but they're close. The Bible says, it was no small contention arose among them. What's that mean? It means it was a big deal. So they go, you know, they're discussing this, and Paul will not change. Barnabas will not change. So what are they? They're divided about what to do, right? Not where they're going, but who they're taking. So now this contention has come up, and now they're being split. So Barnabas says, I'm taking Mark. And he gets Mark, and he goes on his merry little way. So lo and behold, God's already got somebody set up because he knew this was going to happen to begin with. And the guy's name is Silas. Now, if you go back and you read that and you study that, Silas and another guy, they've been on a mission and they're done. The other guy goes back home, but Silas stays on there for a little longer. Don't say why, he just stayed. Well, lo and behold, he hooks up with Paul and then they go out on their way. But how many knows later on, after a little time passed, Barnabas and Paul, they get back together and they're kind of like, well, let's just bring the whole band. And Paul, this time, he's like, okay. Something had changed. Now they're going to walk together again. Why? Because now they're agreed. Unless you are agreed, you cannot walk together. You can't. I don't care if you are a husband and wife. I don't care if you're a father and a son. I don't care if you're an employer and employee. You must be agreed, right? They tell you what time to get there, don't they, Johnny? And you better agree, hadn't you, if you want to keep a job there. How come a lot of times when we come over into the church, this is just out the window? It becomes like a free-for-all. You know, this is a, you have enlisted in the army of the Lord, and he's the one that tells us what to do. And we must agree with him because he's not going to agree with us. But then, like Brother Brad was preaching the other Wednesday night, that you can grow and develop into a place to where you become one with God and you know what he wants. He doesn't just always have to spell it out to you all the time. No, you must grow and develop to that place. Right? Just like Moses. He was like that. But the Bible says the children of Israel, they only saw his acts. But Moses learned his ways. So we can do that. We can walk so one with God to where we're not having to ask him every little thing. We just kind of know, kind of like Adam. Adam named every animal on this planet. And God never one time... I just don't think I would call that a giraffe now. Maybe I would call it a long neck. I mean, look at it. I believe God would have called it a giraffe because Adam called it a giraffe. And that's what they both thought that it was. He walked and talked with God, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. He was in unity with him. He was one with him, right? So therefore, God let him name every animal, even the woman. He named her, called her woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. But what happened when they come into disunity? They no longer had a fellowship with one another. Right? With God. Here come God, and he said, Adam, where are you? He didn't say that because he didn't know where Adam was. He knew where Adam was going to be before he ever even created Adam. It was for Adam to acknowledge where you are. You're out of unity with me. Come back in. God tells us the same thing when we get out of unity with him. Now, the devil, he'll tell you what a dirty, low-down dog you are and how God wants nothing to do with you when the Holy Ghost is saying all the time, just repent and come back. Repent and come back. Repent and come back. Right? So we have to stay in unity with God, and we have to stay in unity with each other at all times. What's that mean? I don't have to like your personality. There's certain personalities I just don't like. I just don't get along well with them. What's that mean? I have to work harder to be around them, to not be smart or whatever the case might be. Doesn't mean that I can't. Just means I got to work harder. I don't do well with, kind of like Travis, he doesn't do well with talkity people, especially early in the morning. That's just his thing. He don't like a lot of talking. I don't like a lot of talking most of the time. There's other people. You take Granny. Oh, she loves it if you talk. She hates it if you don't. Because then that means she's going to sit there for an hour and a half and drag every word out of you. And she'd rather you just tell it. She likes talkative people. She likes conversation. So what's that mean? She'd rather have somebody that talked. Where me, I just sat there. That's one reason why me and April get along. She can just sit there and I can just sit there. Monty's like, I don't know how y'all are friends. Well, this is how we're friends. We like it this way. She don't say or do nothing. I don't have to say or do nothing. We don't have to see each other all the time. Now, for other people, for Beth and Samantha, they would die, Johnny. They couldn't take that. They have to just like feed off of each other. Talking and doing and going and coughing. That, I ain't got time for all of that. Do you see what I'm saying? Different personalities. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. But in the body of Christ, everybody's personality ain't going to be like mine. And you said, hallelujah. And everybody's personality ain't going to be like yours. And I say, hallelujah, double. Right? See, that's not what he's talking about, though. It's not all of us start liking chocolate ice cream. Ooh, that was spit. Anointed. Hi, Travis. Y'all see him with the cover on him a little while, you know why. Spit everywhere. Everybody's not going to like chocolate ice cream. That's like Scotty. I like chocolate. I like vanilla sometimes. He likes that walnut. Oh, gross. Gag a maggot. That is just awful to me. But that's why. Did you like it, Johnny? So you and Scotty can hang together. But see, my point is, that stuff, it doesn't even matter. But when we're one with the Lord, we can be one with one another. But if we're not one with Jesus, we can't be one with one another. Because you got all these different personalities, you got all these different likes, all these dislikes. But see, when we're in Him and He's in us and we're with each other, we can be one because we have one purpose, His purpose, right? His will, doing His stuff, not mine, not yours, not ours. I was thinking the other day about somebody and I thought, you know what? I just ain't going to do what you want. And I don't mean that in a bad way. If I don't do what I want, I'm definitely not going to do what you want. Right? So we all going to do what He wants. Then we can all get along. We can all be in one mind, right? Thinking the same way. Preferring Him, what He wants. Preferring one another, right? Above ourselves. But if we're not in harmony and unity with Him, we can't do that. Because He is the one that makes all the difference. See, it doesn't matter what color our skin is. When we get in Him, we're all one. There is no brown or black or white or extra white or any of that, like Beth and Aubrey. It's all one color. Do you understand there's all one race of people? And there's only one color? You're just a different shade, baby. That's all you are. Just a different shade. Now, Aubrey and Beth, they don't have much shade. That's okay. Then you got others, got lots of shade. That's one reason why I don't like that when they talk about races and all of that. There's only one race. It is the human race. What other race of people is there? Alien? Alien race? I don't know. But there's only one race of people, and it is the human race. I don't know how we're getting off on all that, but anyway, let's go back to what I'm supposed to be on here. Now, put up Habakkuk 2, please, Beth. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end. Fulfillment, it will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be, behindhand on its appointed day. So what's, I'm going to give it to you real quick in a nutshell, best I can for this church. The reason why we are here, number one, is to make converts and disciples. To colonize the earth for the kingdom of God, in other words. Do you get what I'm saying? We make converts. What's that mean? We get put people back in right relationship with God. We get them. We lead them to the Lord. Get them born again. Then after that, our job is not done. Then we bring them into the church. Did y'all hear what I said? To the church and make disciples. A disciple does not mean you tack Jesus onto everything at the end of your name or anything else. It means you become a follower of Christ. That's what a disciple is. They follow Him. Number one, they want to do His will and they strive to do it. Right? That is our job here at this church. So that is your vision. That is our vision for the church. Now, there's many ways that God has us doing that. We have food giveaway because God loves people. And that's just the way He hooked us up to be able to do that. So while we're out there, we ask them, you know, do you have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Do you know Jesus? If you don't, we'll lead you to Him. Do you want prayer? Something about the kingdom, right? We're not just giving them regular food. Why? Because our thing here is to make converts and disciples. We have the clothes. And they, and I don't know who it was. Maybe it was all of y'all. Somebody prayed with somebody down there yesterday, I think, with a man or somebody. Because I asked him out here, did he want somebody to pray for him? He said, well, they prayed for me down there, but I guess if you want to. So that's a good thing. But our thing here is to make converts and to make disciples. Now, every church, that is their thing to do that. But there's different ways they may go about it, just like the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. There's gifts, and then there's different administrations or the way that you would administer the gift. Everybody's not going to have a food and clothing ministry. They're not called to it, right? You've got other churches, they are more geared toward missions, missionary work, a little bit like what we do in India. But, they're just keyed that way. That's not our thing. We do some of that, but that's not our thing. Now, here... And it seems like probably a lot of times to me when I think about it and I look at it, it's kind of like, just seems like a little bit military maybe, you know. Do this, you know, do that, don't do this. Kind of like when you're making disciples or whatever. You understand what I'm telling you? Every church is not like that. Every church is not going to be like that. But for us, that is the vision. And I'm telling you why, so it can be very plain. This is, I don't know if y'all caught it or not, what Rondé was saying about what's coming. Now, we're going to be in revival, what is that, March the 27th through the 29th, which is going to be on a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday morning or whatever. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if this is what's going to happen or not. I have no clue when it's coming. But y'all remember Rondé, the time before last when he was here, he said, I see them. He said, they're coming. He said, I see them like little tulips. He said, they have a heart for God, not for this world. He was talking about the people we've been calling for 15 years from the north, the south, the east, the west, and all the rest. See, some people think we just say that and we just want that. To be honest with you, in my flesh, I don't. You know why? Because when you have that baby, remember, you prayed for that baby. When you got a busting headache and you've had it for 2 days and it's crying at 2 o'clock in the morning, remember, you prayed for that baby. That's what I mean. When I say in my flesh. Why? Because the Bible says wherever the stall's empty, they ain't going to do no cleaning. They ain't no manure. When the stall is full, there's manure everywhere. But you got cows or oxen or whatever it is that you got, and you're thankful for them, right? Well, the other day whenever he was here, I don't know if y'all caught it or not, but he was sitting up here and he began to talk about it. And when he began to do, it was like instantly hit me right here. I knew if you ain't talking to nobody else in this room, God, you are talking to me about this. Because this stays on my mind and my heart a lot. And he said that we are, as a church, as a body, we are right on the edge of a move of God. And I can't tell you necessarily what that move of God is going to look like. Nobody can. You can look at past moves of God, but the Bible talks about how that in these latter days, there's going to be things people ain't never even seen before being done. But anyway, and he began to talk about that. And I was reminded, y'all remember, or did you ever even know, what they call the Brownsville Revival, Brownsville, Pensacola? We went down there, but it was done about wrapping up by the time we heard about it and got down there or whatever. The way that started, that whole church had been praying and fasting and seeking God and just going about their business, serving God, you know, and winning people to Jesus and all of that. And I think he was a missionary, evangelist, whatever he was. Anyway, his name was Steve Hill. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He came in to do a revival. And he got over there and God just broke out. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here because I don't know. But I'm telling you, it could. It could very well be the catalyst that ushers in everything that we have been believing God for. And we must stay unified. And that's why Rondé said, when the time comes, when this move begins, you will remember everything that we told y'all. Everything that we taught y'all. We will need it. That's why he said, there are no big I's and no little U's. We don't operate that way here. Now, we do have a structure of authority. Scotty, as a pastor, he is the head. I mean, if he says something don't row here, then it don't row. If he says something does, then it does. You know, that's just the way that it is. That's the way it is at your house, ain't it, Johnny? If you say it goes, it goes. If you say it stays, don't it? That's just a structure of authority. That's the way God sets things up. There's always authority with God or whatever. But at the same time, none of us feel like, and I don't believe any of us portray like, somebody else is greater than somebody else or better than somebody else. Why? It takes all of us together. Just like it took the 12 disciples. Not just Peter. It took all of them. Then it took more of them. Then it took more of them. It's going to take every one of us in this house and even those that are coming. Why? We're going to have to take care of these people. We'll have to teach these people. We'll have to walk with these people. Just like we have done with one another. And we'll have to remember all these things. But see, the thing about the devil is, let's go over to the scripture while I'm right here at this spot. Right quick, let me find it here. Did I write that down? Surely I did. I think it's the Luke 11, Beth. Yeah, I'm not going to take the time to, well, maybe we got time. Let's start at, how do I got that? Amplified. Let's start at verse 14. It says, now Jesus was driving out a demon that was dumb, and it occurred that when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, he drives out demons because he is in league with and by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. While others, to try and test and tempt him, demanded a sign of him from heaven. But he, well aware of their intent and purpose, the devil has a purpose to the things he does, said to them, every kingdom split up against itself is doomed and brought to desolation. And so house falls upon house. The disunited household will collapse. Listen, it doesn't matter if that's a marriage, if it's your house, if it's a church, if it's a business, it doesn't matter. There's nothing that can stand together if it is disunited. You just cannot. You can't last. He goes on, that's what he's telling him here, not even the devil himself. It says, and if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom last? For you say that I expel demons with the help of and by Beelzebub. Now if I expel demons with the help of and by Beelzebub, with whose help and by whom do your sons drive them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has already come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are disturbed, his property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all his goods and plunder spoil. He who is not with me, siding and believing with me, is against me, and he who does not gather with me, engage in my interest, scatters. Now, why would I say that? Because the devil always has an agenda and he's always on his game. We have to be right every time for him not to get something done. Right? Why? Because he's always trying. So one of the things that he would try to do when a move of God comes is disunify people, get people in strife. The Bible says wherever envying and strife is, there's what? Division, confusion, and every evil work. You could call it the manifestation or the manifested presence of the devil himself. That's the number one thing that he tries to do. Why? Because all through the Bible, God said over and over, we just read it in Psalm, God commands the blessing where brethren dwell together in unity. The Bible said over in Ephesians, it is mine and your job to endeavor to keep the unity of the peace, the bond of the Spirit. Why? Because see, if you get out of that, then you're in the flesh, you're out of the Spirit. Why? Because God is love, right? So therefore, if we stay in love, then we'll be in unity with one another. We'll be preferring one another, and God will be manifesting. But if you let the other in, well, you know, I just don't think we need to do that. Well, who asked you? I'm just talking about it. I mean, y'all don't get it like I get it. I say something, and there's been times that I get, best thing you could do is mind your own business. And they don't, nobody in this church do more here than me. Why? Because to that degree, it's not my business, Johnny. I'm not the pastor of this church. I'm not the leader of this church. So therefore, guess what? Just like Aubrey and Aiden, they could ask a question, and especially Aubrey, bless her heart, her mouth gets her in more trouble than anything else. That tongue or whatever. She'll ask the question, and then they'll tell her the answer. Well, I don't know why we have to blah, 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 blah. She can't see what Beth sees. Why? She's not Beth. Aiden can't see what Travis sees. Why? He's not Travis. That's why, one reason why Scotty tells Travis, you'll never know more than me. Absolutely not. Why? Because from his perspective, Travis can never see what Scotty sees. Why? He's not in the place. Do you get what I'm telling you? Just like this, all of us could have an opinion about what the president is doing and what he needs to be doing and what he should have already done and what he should have not have done. And hello, do you know how much there is that we don't know about the decisions he makes, about the situation? Bring that right over here to a household. Bring that right over here to a church. You have no idea sometimes why he makes the decisions that he makes, because there's so much outside of this little service right here this morning that you don't know about, that you didn't hear about, that you did not see. So therefore, we have to stay in unity, and we'll have to use that phrase a lot on ourselves. None of my business. Nothing to me. Right? I have made it a point to where, now if I know Scotty's supposed to be at a certain job, that I hear them when they call. And Scotty says, okay, well, I'll see you Tuesday, so-and-so-and-so. I will hound him until after Tuesday. I don't mean to. I am the helper, Johnny. I can't help it. The Bible says God made us women to be the helper. But see, now we have to learn how to be the helper. And I have been praying, Holy Ghost, help, you are the best helper. Help me to be a helper like you. Because, see, I can think I know how to help, but it's not help. Because you know how he sees that? Nagging. God, won't you shut up? And he said that before. And me, I'm like, I can't help it. You don't understand. I don't want him to see you bad. I don't want you. I know you got a lot to think of, so I don't want you to forget. And then, see, I know you forgot, but they think you just lied, and then you don't look good. Y'all see where I'm going with this? All my intentions, Sandy, was good and right. But that's not how he took it. So I'm having to learn. If you look bad, you did it to yourself. I'm serious. Ladies, if you're married, this will save you a lot of problems if you'll do what I'm telling you this morning. And it ain't easy for us to dull down. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost doesn't do that to me, Samantha. Even when I tell him to remind me, he nudges me a little bit. And then if I'm like, tell me in 30 minutes later or whatever, you know, tell me again after a while, not right this second. A little bit later, he might, little lighter, nudge me, remind me or whatever. Then before you know it, he don't do it no more. Why? Because he's the helper. He's not the pusher. And see, what I'm doing, I'm choosing to push it out. I'm choosing to forget about it. Do you get what I'm saying with this? And I don't know why in the world I'm talking about this, but anyway, I know what I'm talking about. So therefore, I've had to tell the Holy Spirit, help me to be the helper like you. So now, if I hear about it, a job, they call when I'm with him or something other, I hear something about that, I don't say nothing else about it. Why? It's not my job to go beyond. Because, see, my will is for him not to look bad. It's for him to always look good. But I can't do that for him. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Only he can make that choice. And that's just an example in that situation or whatever. Because, see, the Holy Spirit, he's the helper. And, ladies, we have to be the helpers. But not the naggers, because that's how they take that. And when we keep on and we keep on. Now, see, he told y'all Wednesday night that about my tightening up my door that Doris thought she broke, that she didn't break, and I told him, Saturday. Y'all remember when he told y'all he fixed it, didn't he? And how he went right down, what you laughing about? And he went right down there, y'all don't hear some of this right. I'm going to tell it, this is my story, and I'm going to tell it right this morning, not left. So anyway, me and her, we go see my brother, you know, and my truck has been needing tightening up all over. The thing has just been loosening up everywhere. But anyway, she goes to close the door, and the door handle thing is kind of like hanging, and I'm like, God, she tore a door up, you know. But anyway, I looked at it, and I thought, I don't think she tore that up. I think a screw come out right there where the door thing goes on. Last Saturday, and I told him. And I said, I don't think it's broke or anything. I said, I think maybe a screw come out because it looks like the whole door panel may be a loose or whatever. Saturday. Now, Tuesday. Sunday, Monday. Tuesday. I get out and I think about it. And Aubrey got out and closed the door and the door panel just kind of come apart and slapped back too, you know. So it reminded me. So, my life, I'm telling you. Oh, you should marry a Weston, I'm telling you. Adventure. Anyway, so I holler up there when me and the kids get out of the truck to remind him of my door panel. So I said, hey, don't forget about my door panel. You know, I think it's just a screw or whatever, and I go on in the house. Now, Donnie, that kind of irked him a little bit. But that's okay. So now, lo and behold, his finite mind, and y'all got this part. And she told me, and me and Abe just run right down there, and we just fixed it. They did Tuesday. But see, I'm learning not to tell him Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday, Monday morning, Monday evening. Because see, my thinking is, I know he forgot. He loves me. I know he wants the best for me. I know he don't want my door panel falling off. He's forgot. I know he's forgot. Sometimes he didn't forget, Sandy. What? No. Sometimes he just didn't want to do it. But see, for me, the Holy Ghost is having to help me. Don't keep reminding him. I know if he really forgot or not. And I know if he just chose not to, and I will deal with him. You see, that way me and him, we stay good. But see, this is something I'm having to... Been married 40 years, and I'm just now getting this, Johnny. I'm a little slow. But once I get it, I got it. That's a good thing I can say about that or whatever. Whew, we better move on and quit meddling, huh? Some good marriage advice. You'd be surprised at how many divorces happened just over what I just said. Now... So that is the vision for this church. So no matter what, we have to stay in unity. And if you have got out of unity with somebody in this church, you need to make it right. I'm not saying you got to go to them. If you got something against them, forgive them. Let it go. Drop it. Who cares? It's not worth the kingdom. It's not worth the presence of the Lord in this house. It's not worth forfeiting the move of God that God wants to do in this place to the degree that God wants to do it. Right? So if you got to, drop it, forget about it, let it go, because it don't even matter. In the long run of things, well, they should have not. Well, maybe they shouldn't have. But do you really want to get on that and get on the things maybe you should have not? I don't. So if there's any of that, forgive, move on. Now, because we got to stay in unity with one another in one purpose. Trying to think. I got a lot of stuff here. I'm trying to think which one I want to go to now. All right. On that, put up Philippians 2, please, Beth. I guess since we're here at this spot. It says, so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, excuse me, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in Him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassion, sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and in one purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. For us, it is to do the will of God and prefer others above ourselves and bring people into the kingdom. Right? He said, occupy till I come. Now, that may look a lot of different ways for you to occupy in the fullness of your life. But whatever he says, that's what we're going to do. He says, do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or promoted or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. That, you got to work on that every day. Did I go that far? Okay, it says, let each one of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also each for the interest of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. That is a mouthful. And that is not something that's just automatic. That's something that daily you have to make the choice. Every time you come to a service, you have to make the choice. Well, they got my parking spot. I've been parking there 10 years. Well, who cares? Grab you another one. Park across the road. Do whatever you got to do. Ain't that what this said? Do whatever you got to do to keep the unity, the harmony, the oneness, and Christ be our example. Ain't that what he done? Yeah. He put on a towel and he washed their feet. You're talking about the King of Kings and washed their feet. He put himself in that low position, right? Can nobody put it? Nobody there put you in that low position. You have to put yourself there. I have to put myself there. Now, I'm going to run out of time here. I'll just quote you this one. Now, we know the story pretty much about he was Abram still at the time. And Lot, God told Abram, get out of here. You know, go into a country that I'm going to show you or whatever. Well, he got up, left his family, except Lot. I don't know why he took Lot. But anyway, he took Lot. And they go out there, and I mean, God's just blessing them and all of that, and God has increased them so much. And so, you know, prosperity is in the Bible. And Abram got so many cows and ox or whatever he got, and Lot got so many, and they had so many people working for him. The people working for him, they're out there duking it out because they ain't enough fodder. That's what the Bible calls. I guess it's hay or something. I don't know. But anyway, y'all know the story, right? Y'all remember all of that. So then Abram, he finds out about it, and he goes to Lot. And he tells him, he says, okay, I'm paraphrasing, where God has blessed us so much, I'm going to prefer you, Lot, above me. I'm going to give you first choice, Samantha. Out of all that you see, pick the left, pick the right. Whatever your heart desires, baby, you pick it, and I will take what's left. Ain't that what he told him? Oh, and Lot's like, yeah. He looked out over there. And said he picked what he thought was going to be the best. And it ended up vexing his righteous soul, the Bible says, every day. But anyway, that's another message. We're not going to get on that one of vexation. Anyway, so Lot picked. And Abram took what was left. Why did he do that? He said, so that there will be no strife among your herdsmen and my herdsmen. In other words, to stop the strife, I'll do without. To stop the division, I'll let you have what looks like the best. And I'll take what looks like the worst or the least, because I know my God can give me way more if I make the right choice than you could ever get, or that you could ever give me, or that I could ever even take for myself. But see, the choice has to be made. The preferring the others above yourself, because see, God will give to you whatever it is that you need in abundance to the full till it's overflowing. But if you make the wrong choice, you get like what Lot got. Right? So in other words, to stay in unity, there's times it looks like you're going to lose if you make this choice. Go on and make the choice and let it look like you're going to lose. The Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs, God said, don't envy the wicked when they prosper. Because see, you can't prosper without God. He says, don't envy the wicked when they prosper. He said, for surely they shall come to an end. But how many knows our God prospers us? The Bible talks about, look at the intended end that God had for Job. Woo! He went through a lot, but baby, he got a lot. I've got to stop because our time is up. Let me say one more thing here, I think. But anyway, yeah, that about Lot. He said the reason why he done it was to stop the strife. There can be no strife in a marriage. So if there is, according to Scripture, there's only one reason. Right? There's pride somewhere. There's arrogancy working somewhere. There's envy working somewhere, right? Because you got the manifested presence of the devil. And see, you can't go that long like that. I don't care who you are. You might can go for a little while, but see, you got to get that fixed. Why? Because in the unity, you'll stay together. In the unity, that's the very reason why some people don't go to church here anymore. I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close?